The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
Listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive. Brandon Ork alongside Bear and Rick Butler as Russell Smith is out today a little under the weather. Best wishes to Russ. Hope he gets feeling better pretty soon. But doing things a little bit different today. Right off the top, got a guest joining the show. Evolveswire.com, Dan Harrelson. Dan, how's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. I hope you guys are doing well.
Oh, yeah, doing good, Dan. Orange and white game over the weekend. Big time on here in Knoxville. Any big takeaways from the orange and white game? I know definitely it got off to a slow start, but things kind of picked up later. In the second half, as far as the offense goes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the slow start may be a little bit of maybe some design drives, whatever, right out of the gate. And I really think Jeremy Pruitt and the defensive staff did a pretty good job there in the first quarter. I think as a whole, coming out of the orange and white game, just kind of seeing all the coaches on the same page, and I think a lot of the coaches were on the same page last year, but I think now things are pretty calm. I think they like the buy-in factor from most players on this team going into year two, and I think that kind of speaks volumes. The only thing that they need now is just to add a couple more recruiting classes, and I think this is going to be a program that's going to be built off what Jeremy Pruitt's done at previous stops with the stellar defense, and now with Jim Chaney in the mix, I just think you can complement that with the offensive mind and what Chaney has done in the SEC previously.
Yeah, and speaking of building this with recruiting classes, really had a lot of big time recruits here this weekend, and I know Tennessee got at least one commitment. So definitely a big recruiting weekend for Tennessee and the Volunteers.
Right, and it was good to see guys like Harrison Bailey, Darnell Wright, some of those type guys that were already with Tennessee. They'll be here in the future. And it was just kind of good to see them on the sideline going after some of these recruits that UT is going after, just to kind of establish a deeper recruiting class going forward.
Yeah, Justin Rogers being one of those guys, especially on the defensive line, a big guy like that's going to be crucial, especially for Jeremy Pruitt and the defense that he's wanting to install here at Tennessee.
Right, and he is a guy that somebody did mention to me that things are trending in the right direction for Tennessee. Of course, so we know how recruiting goes, but I think right now Tennessee's feeling pretty good about him.
Dan, going back to just the play on the field, was there anybody that kind of stood out to you offensively or defensively on the orange and white game? I know me personally, D'Angelo Gibbs, I mean, he had those two interceptions in the second half, so I thought he did a lot for himself as far as playing time goes come this fall.
Yeah, Gibbs played well, but I think that was actually Jalen McCullough who had the two picks.
Yeah,
was
the game. Yeah,
I believe Jalen McCullough, Tank McCullough.
Yeah, and he looked good. Of course, Jeremy said one of them was just a good break on the ball. The other one was kind of just the alley-oop type. So, of course, Jeremy's going to pinpoint that and break it down as much as he can, but that kind of speaks volumes being early enrollee freshman, and that goes back to Pruitt working with that position. That's why I just think this defense this year, if they can just find a good little pass rush on the outside we saw flashes out of Daryl Taylor last year, and maybe a DeAndre Johnson on the other side. If they can just get that to be a consistent game-by-game presence there on the outside, I think the back end's going to be pretty good with Ainsley and Pruitt focusing on that unit. But I think Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings, they look great. I think that could be maybe a trio, the best trio of receivers in the SEC if Josh Palmer continues to be a factor. But I think the best duo in the SEC at that position is Jennings and Marquez Callaway. And I think Jim Chaney's going to utilize them quite a bit. And another thing that kind of stood out to me is having guys like Ty Chandler, moving him from the backfield into the slot a couple times. Just formation-wise, everything looked better for Tennessee.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned needing a good pass rush. And with that being said, have they said anything, or has there been any news as far as getting Aubrey Solomon through the clearinghouse, how his appeal's going, and for that matter, D'Angelo Gibbs?
Yeah, the same person I talked to about the recruit, Justin Rogers, they felt pretty good about winning the appeal, more so with Aubrey.
Right.
But I just think when you look at the D'Angelo Gibbs situation, and, you know, he's transferring to a place that's still kind of close to home. But I just think when you look at Justin Fields, quarterback at Georgia, who basically used the former Georgia baseball player with the racist remark as an excuse to go to a different school and be eligible immediately, I just don't see, or maybe it's going on behind the scenes, I don't know, but I would definitely use that for D'Angelo Gibbs' favor to become eligible immediately to leave a place like that where an incident did occur.
Yeah.
Who knows? They could be using that.
I feel like that they're probably using anything they can think of at this point.
Right.
Solomon especially.
He's a beast. Looked good. Another person, big body-wise, that stood out as far as his frame is Aka Peroni, the offensive lineman. He looked pretty good. And Brandon Kennedy looks like he can go if it was game week.
I felt like Crouch, obviously, is the real deal. He kind of flashed, you know, from what I watched. I was impressed with how he dropped Beckett on the play where, I don't know all the young guys' names yet, the kid that fumbled it going down the sideline after he made a really good catch.
Right, that was, I believe that was Jackson Lowe.
Yeah, Jackson Lowe caught the ball, and then we knocked it loose on
flashbacks
that play.
Flashbacks to the Florida game.
Yeah, but just felt like that, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about linebacker, but still have a lot of concerns with our front. How did Emmett Gooden?
He looked good. That's the area that Pruitt's kind of mentioned, and even Tracy Rocker last week heading up to the Orange and White game, that they just need to be more consistent on the defense line after losing quite a few guys. But I'm with you. I think this linebacker unit can be pretty good if they can get some help there on the defensive line, because you got guys like DeAndre Johnson, who's most likely going to be your jack linebacker, and then Batuli in the middle, and maybe Ignite there at the wheel spot, and of course Taylor on the outside, and then you got guys like Henry Toa coming in. Maybe he can be a factor early on. You would think he would be in a better position than a J.J. Peterson, who had to play the game of trying to get eligible last year, missed fall training camp, and he was MIA Saturday at the game. I don't even think he was on the sidelines.
Really?
And then you got Shannon Reed and Jordan Allen in that position. So it's a little bit deep if you look at the linebacker spot.
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting big things out of Johnson, DeAndre. I don't know. I feel like he flashed enough last year. You know, expecting big things out of him. Now, I may have missed this at some point. My weekend was so crazy. Did they put Kirkland Jr. on a medical?
Well, he was on the sideline during the game. I don't know if they showed him on TV or whatever, but I saw him quite a few times. From the way I saw it, of course, he had, like, sweatpants on. They're kind of baggy, so I don't know if he had anything, like, on his knee or anything underneath that, but he was moving around fine. He was being a pretty good teammate there, you know, in the huddle and everything like that on the side. But I don't know what's going on with him, and I really don't know what's going on with J.J. Peterson either.
Dan, I thought Tennessee – I mean, one thing, especially with the spring game, that you always want to avoid is injuries, and Tennessee did that for the most part. Really, the only one Saturday was Palmer going down kind of late, but doesn't look like that's going to be anything too serious, right?
Yeah, and it's been pretty much a quiet spring, which is a good thing. I think Baylen Buchanan was out a little bit. I don't think it's anything serious. And then Carlin Fields and me towards the end of spring practices, looks like he'll be out. I think that may be a knee situation for him, but I think he's going to be out, Jeremy Pruitt said, till July or so. So he should be fine before fall camp. And Palmer, I think he's going to be fine too. So I think overall it's been a good spring, and that really goes back to being a testament to Craig Fitzgerald and him coming back and turning down Maryland. And he's really made a lot of strides there as consistency with this program.
Good stuff from Dan Harrelson. Dan, let everybody know where they can follow you on Twitter and follow your work.
Yeah, I'm at Dan Harrelson on Twitter and then ballswire.com. And having some stories out this week for Tennessee's opponent, BYU, and put one out today. Their offensive line coach, Eric Mateos, he kind of broke down coaching under Jim Chaney at Arkansas and his thoughts on that being a pretty good game planner. And he kind of looked back at the 2015 Arkansas-Tennessee game where they kind of just puffed their chest out and ran the ball down Butch's team. And so it was pretty good to talk to him also about coaching against Jeremy Pruitt twice when he was in the SEC.
All right, good stuff. Dan, appreciate you jumping on with us as always.
All right, thank you.
Dan Harrelson, ballswire.com. Bear, I won't ask you what you learned. I won't pull a Russell.
Yeah, no. I mean, I took part in the interview.
I know. That's why I'm not going to ask you.
Yeah.
865-546-8200 is our number if you want to join us. We'll take a quick break. When we continue, we'll have your Rocky Top report along with much, much more as The Drive continues. Listen to Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. The Drive.
Time for the Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Orange and white game over the weekend. Official attendance announced at 50,967. Probably a little inflated. I saw where somebody said that it was lower, is like 15,000 lower than last year. As far as attendance?
Well, I mean, last year was a perfect day. You don't remember, it was like, what, like 70 degrees?
Yeah, it was nice.
A couple of clouds. Everybody's excited. It's the first time we're getting to see Pruitt and the team.
Jeremy changed his tone a little
bit.
Yeah,
obviously I think some people have spoken with him and kind of gotten through to him that – this isn't Alabama. This is Tennessee. You can't do business the way he was wanting to do business last year with the comments. You can't just call out Tennessee fans. Not after what all we've been through.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that was kind of the smart play, but it's also a little disingenuous whenever you have less people there this year and you act like you're happy with the turnout. But anyway.
You know, it's wild as they had more people at the orange and white game than they did at the Bristol race.
Yeah, that is. That's a little surprising.
Never thought you'd see that.
I thought Garantano played well. I feel like once he got in a rhythm, I mean, he had three touchdowns, one to Palmer and two to Juwan Jennings. So I thought Garantano looked pretty good. Maurer impressed a little bit. He had the, I think he had the first scoring drive. I think that was led by Brian Maurer. So, Tennessee baseball takes 2 of 3, wins the series against second-ranked Georgia. Tennessee baseball, I think I'll have to look it up here in just a second, but they were, I mean, they're in pretty good shape as far as SEC standings go right now.
It was huge.
Yeah, definitely right now, definitely in play for to make the conference tournament.
If our pitchers can keep pitching the way they are right now, that Garrett Stallings had just an outstanding effort.
Yep, and he was named SEC Pitcher of the Week.
Saw that as we were coming on. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I have to think that, you know, I mean, Georgia's number two in the nation, and we won the series. And friend of the show, Rusty Enzer, says you don't want to get swept. So, you know, winning a series against the number two team in the country is just incredible at this point from where we've been.
Yeah, I mean, and still got a lot – still have a lot of SEC SEC games left to play, so definitely nothing given, but gotta like where you're sitting right now. Tennessee closes out a 9-game homestand tomorrow night against Morehead State, so should get that win tomorrow night.
Smash
the midweek game. You say that, but it's always, I mean, what was it, a couple weeks ago, they lost to ETSU, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
so
as of today, Tennessee is ranked 25th in the rankings.
So we've moved
ourselves up into the – yeah, Tennessee currently sits with a record of 26-11, but it's just tough right now because, you know, and we've known this to be true, but, yeah, Mississippi State, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, Arkansas, LSU, Ole Miss, and Missouri all ahead of you in the top 25. There's just so much good talent in the SEC right now, but for the Vols to do get those two big wins to move itself up into the top 25 – that's a big deal. We need to capitalize on this.
And then we were talking with Dan Harrelson just a little bit ago, but Justin Rogers, who is a 5-star defensive lineman, he's been picking up a lot of crystal balls from 247 to Tennessee. He had this quote from the weekend. It's all about family there, talking about Tennessee. With Coach Pruitt, Tennessee is on the come up. His visit over the weekend, that was his fifth visit to Tennessee. So,
well, and as our own Cole McCormick pointed out on Twitter, the last crystal ball prediction that came in for Justin Rogers came from Rusty Manziel of Dogs 247, which is presumably obviously the Georgia Bulldogs 247 site. So that's a big deal. If even the guys who are in contention for Justin Rogers are now predicting Tennessee, that means it's not just guys from all over the place. That means guys that know the kid and kind of have an insight of where he's going are saying that Tennessee is a very likely situation.
That is your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. If you're thinking about moving this year, the best way to get started is with a phone call to the Craigner Group. Bo Craigner and his team will come to your house, take a look around, and tell you exactly what you need to do before you list your home so that you can get it sold quickly and move on to your new home. It's quick, easy, and it's free. The consultation doesn't cost you a dime. So what are you waiting for? Call the Craigner Group today, 865-742-1035, or go online to boknowshouses.com. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. List it, sell it, and move on.
You've been following this, the breaking news out of Paris?
Yeah, that is just bizarre.
The Cathedral of Notre Dame stood for almost 1,000 years.
Yeah. What? It's like 800 years.
900.
900?
It was built in, what, 11, either 60 or 70. I just read some of the artifacts that are supposedly inside.
Such as?
A piece of the cross they believe that Jesus was crucified on.
Wow.
As well as part of the thorned crown they made him wear. And one of the nails from his crucifixion.
Hmm.
It's It's where they were kept safe. It's wild to think, we were talking before the show, how much time, you know, in almost 1,000 years this church has stood.
Yeah, I mean,
and, you know,
all kinds of wars, French Revolution, World War One, World War Two.
Yeah,
it's sad. Absolutely crazy to think about it. Have you? Has anybody read or heard what the cause of it was?
No, other than they were doing construction.
I heard there was just a fire that started in the attic. Nothing more.
Started in the attic. I thought originally they had said it started beneath one of the towers where they were doing the construction.
I don't know. I'll try to figure it out.
Fire started when you're dealing, when you're doing stuff like, you know, construction. That's where I would look first.
Have you guys seen the actual video of the spire falling down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it once. Didn't like it.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, just to see that fall is terrible.
Yeah, just such an iconic, historic building, and now it's basically gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you build it back? What do you do? Where do you go from here?
You rebuild the cathedral.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just,
wait, you're thinking you wouldn't rebuild the cathedral? They're going to rebuild the cathedral.
No, you're going to rebuild it, but it's not the same.
No, probably not, but it has to be rebuilt.
So right here on CNBC, it says that, where was it? It was not immediately clear what had caused the fire, while local media reported that police in the city were treating it as an accident. The Paris prosecutor's office announced that it has started an inquiry into the fire. So as of right now, when this was posted 20 minutes ago, they don't know. But the media there is treating it like, this was just an accidental fire that I guess happened during the construction.
Well, we'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, the roof's collapsed.
For any updates.
Wow.
Just a sad, sad situation in Paris. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, talk about the Masters. Just an absolutely historical Sunday at the Masters. I, for one,
watched every minute of it.
Great, great television. Great television. And a great story. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, you're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville. 865-546-8200. Let's go to the phones and grab T-Carp. T-Carp, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, guys. Beautiful afternoon. I hope you all are enjoying it. Really enjoyed the interview with Dan Harrelson. Bear, phenomenal work there, man.
Well, thank you.
You're doing great on Russell's day off. So I just want to kind of shout out to you there, buddy. Orange and white game. I feel like we just didn't. We know what we know when it comes to Jarrett Garantano. He's not getting any better. Am I wrong there, guys?
I just think there are some things that looked really familiar, but I think it's really hard to pass judgment on a very, very, very vanilla, basically, you know, practice.
Right. The familiar things, as you put it, which is a good term, were the familiar things I didn't want to see, as in overthrowing guys and not stepping up in the pocket. Things that you would think that a senior quarterback should, or excuse me, a junior quarterback or whatever they had him as,
his redshirt
should
junior.
Know.
Yeah, just more overall, he doesn't – like we talked about it last week with Russ, it still doesn't appear to me that he can read a defense.
I agree.
And he doesn't – and he, more so than that is that he seems to be, you know, somewhat delayed in, like, his checks and his decision-making. And, I mean, that's just part of the problem.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like Maurer and Shrewd, I feel like they, even though they made, like, Maurer made two wrong decisions, threw two picks, but I feel like he's making his decisions much, much faster, especially with Shrewd, too. And, guys, I think they have better arm strength and accuracy than Garantano does. I mean, am I blind to think that?
No, you're not, but the thing that you have to keep in mind is those two interceptions.
I agree there. From a true freshman, yeah, I see your point.
You know, if they're going to do that, then we're going to roll with Garantano if that were a problem, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I agree there, but if history repeats itself with this offensive line like it seems to be doing, we're going to see those two backup quarterbacks start a game this year. If they can't figure out that offensive line. What'd you think about Jeremy Banks? I thought he looked leaner. I still don't think he's a starting SEC running back. You know, Ty Chandler's obviously your workhorse. I just don't think Jordan and I just don't think Banks are that great.
Well, I get used to seeing Banks. Pruitt loves him.
I mean, well, he needs to hold on to the football.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
what you said with the picks.
I think that's the only complaint with Banks is holding on to the football. If they can get that shored up, I like the way – I mean, he runs hard. I like the way the kid plays if he can just hold on to the football.
He's definitely, you know, I don't know if he has breakaway, like if he's going to bust a 70-yarder for a touchdown. But, I mean, he runs hard with good body lean, good pad position. He's going to get first downs.
Yeah, he'll get you that 4 or 5 yards.
And he's on the way out. He's one of the tougher guys on the team.
Is that Crouch?
Yeah.
That is a man, fellas. His arms are probably bigger than my body. Wouldn't you say, Bear? It's huge.
Yeah, he's a very large young man.
I'm excited really well. To see him play. Loved the read he made and the hit on Banks in the backfield. I think that was the only tackle for loss that they had was on that one play. I might be wrong. I mean, I know they got sacks, but an actual, you know, prescribed run play, I don't think that was a run blitz either. I think he read it and just ran, you know, just attacked, which I haven't seen at Tennessee for about 3 or 4 years. It's great.
Yeah. So
guys, y'all have a good one. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, T-Carp. 865-546-8200.
As I have an update for you.
On?
The cathedral burning. In regards to what Bear said, this is a tweet from a guy named Nicholas De La Salle. He's got a blue check mark, so
yeah,
you know he's important.
I saw this.
Says, good news. All the artworks have been saved. The treasure of the cathedral is intact, the crown of thorns, and the holy sacraments. So, a lot of those things are in good condition amidst the fire.
So, was it just the roof that burned? Or
I think it was just the spire thing.
I mean, it sounds to me like the walls are standing, but they were rock.
What about, like, all the decorative, ornate work that's, like, in the sanctuary? I wonder how that is going to hold up.
Probably not real good. It's 1,000-year-old varnished wood. It's basically a giant tinderbox.
Well,
it sounds like they got the important stuff out.
Yeah,
there.
That part's good. So, I mean, good
the
work.
The crown and the holy sacraments, which I'm assuming is the nail and the piece of the cross. So, that's wild.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the last things that I expected to pop up on my timeline today.
No, but as soon as I heard it, I was like, well, that's gone. Have you ever been in any old cathedrals like that?
I went to one in Savannah. I guess it was St. John's Cathedral down in Savannah. That's like the only one. Yeah. So, and I'm not sure when it was built, but
real high ceilings with really, really, really old wood covered in oil-based varnish. Burns incredibly hot and fast. So
yeah, I mean,
they can rebuild the cathedral, and they got, you know,
they got the, they, like you said, they got the important stuff. Mike Wilson of the New Sentinel beat writer for the basketball team. Philip Fulmer and Rick Barnes will meet with the media tomorrow, along with new assistant coach Kim English. So
that's interesting.
Add that to the Rocky Top report. Probably just maybe, if I had to guess, obviously introducing Kim English, that'll be part of it. Mike Wilson, he's saying that could be how the season ended. Probably talking about Barnes' new contract, if I had to guess, too. Maybe a little bit about that. So,
think he's going to talk about this, how the season ended? I wouldn't if I were him.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what else would the press conference be for?
Well, I mean, to announce a new contract, introduce everybody to Coach English, and, you know, I don't think it's going to be an autopsy of the end of the season kind of press conference. He might mention it. At this point, it's last season now.
Yeah.
Looking forward, Brandon, not in the past.
Well, John, I was talking to John earlier, looking at the way too early bracketology for next season.
Where are we at?
A 6 seed.
What?
Yep, a 6.
Wow.
I'm assuming that whoever wrote that article about the bracketology is assuming that Jordan Bone and Grant Williams both leave for the draft.
Like, I think Bone's gone. I really still feel like I'm running about 60-70% Grant's going to be back.
So, 60 or 70% that he's coming back?
Mm-hmm.
I would put it – right now, I probably got it 50-50.
Well, here's the interesting thing to me about that is if you're a 6 seed, that means there's, what, 20 teams ahead of you that are being placed, which means they're basically calling us a borderline – a fringe top 25 team, right in kind of that 20 to 25 range, which is a pretty good fall from grace considering we never left the top 10. I also feel like they'd give us a little bit of benefit of the doubt considering the culture, the atmosphere, the coaching talent we have. I mean, for a team who never was worse than 10 to then turn into basically a fringe top 25, I get we're losing a lot of our best talent, but I still think there's redeeming qualities to this team for next year.
Yeah, I mean you lose 4 of your 5 starters, so I mean you lose a lot of offensive production.
That is true.
But they had us as the 6th seed, and Virginia would be the 1 seed in that region. That would be 3 years in a row. You're a year away, but still. That would be 3 years in a row we've been in the same region as Virginia.
I don't think we're 6th seed if Grant comes back.
No, I don't either. I think if Grant comes back, I think you're sitting pretty good to – I mean, I think you're a top 15 team if Grant comes back. I mean, 2-time SEC Player of the Year, consensus All-American this past year. So, I mean, if Grant comes back, I have no doubt at all that we'll be in contention – I would expect just a small step back from this past year. 865-546-8200. We'll take a quick break. The Drive continues. Final segment, hour number one, coming up.
The Drive.
Found it. The Drive continues. Brandon, Baron, Rick with you here till 6 o'clock. Final segment here of hour number one. Let's go back to the phones. Grit Phil in here. Phil, how's it going?
Sorry, Brandon.
Hey, Phil.
How you bearing, Rick, doing?
Doing good, buddy.
It's good to hear Rick taking a little more airtime. I like it.
We still got the top four and top five coming up, too. It's a good day for me.
Well, let's just see what the top four is first, you know.
That's a fair point. That's a very fair point.
Guys, I guess the first thing I got to congratulate Tiger Woods. I hope John Cooley calls in and eats crow today when he, because he won't like it. Tiger went down and took it over yesterday. Wasn't it beautiful?
I wouldn't hold your breath for that one, Phil.
Well, aren't you happy about it? I
was. Oh, I was. I was just saying I wouldn't hold your breath for tweet calling in to eat crow.
Well, yeah, you're right. Well, let's talk about the orange light game. Looks like to me our secondary is probably about SEC level, and wide receivers are pretty good there. We need a speed burner there, but outside of that, looks to me like we'll be lucky to go to a bowl game.
Wow.
I think we can make a bowl game. I've got faith that we can make a bowl. To answer the thing that you're always harping on, Phil, I think that we can beat Vanderbilt.
Do you really?
I do. We're playing them at home, and they lost basically everything from last season. So they're starting over pretty much. I think we can get them this year. So there's one. I'm counting Kentucky as a win. You've got your three gimme games. And then BYU, surely you can get BYU, and I think you can find another one.
Well, really, it's going to come down to the season. Can they beat Vanderbilt in South Carolina if they go to the bowl game or not? Just like last year.
I mean, you're probably right.
I mean, you hate to say it, but, I mean, really, the South Carolina Vanderbilt inflicted more pain than the big boys. We're not ready to play the big boys yet, but we got to take care of business first before you get to the big boys.
Yeah, and I mean, if the Jeremy Pruitt era is gonna be successful, I think you've got to take that step in year two, and it's something that a lot of Tennessee fans thought that, I mean, you'd never have to worry about South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, but it's a reality right now, and I think you've got to start there, and I think it has to start this year.
Barnes is going to have to meet the media tomorrow. You what you all said?
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Tomorrow, about I think it said about 11:30 or 12.
Well, I'd like to hear this new assistant coach. I hope they get him out on the road already recruiting. But speaking of recruiting, I understand Akeem at Catholic had a great tournament up in Chicago this weekend, and college coaches are buzzing about him.
Akeem Adesupe.
Yeah, he's got potential to be a real good player.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully, hopefully Tennessee's going to recruit him.
Well, they need a big guy, don't they? One that can, you know, protect the rim and block shots and has a little physicality. I mean, Alexander could protect the rim, but he wasn't physical.
Yeah, we got to get more physical. I mean, that's what killed us against Purdue.
Did y'all see where the point guard at David Lipscomb is leaving? And I think he's got 1 year left. Do you think maybe take him as a grad transfer if they don't get Cone in here? I mean, they need a point guard bad. And this kid, I've seen him play, and he's not bad. I mean, he'd be probably about like James Daniel, maybe a little bit better.
I mean,
get a high school player in there.
I mean, Lipscomb had a great year last year. They made it all the way to the NIT final and lost to Texas, but I mean, that was a team I think that they won their conference regular season. I think they got upset in the conference tournament and ultimately had to settle for the NIT. But I mean, Lipscomb had a good team last year. So,
well, we definitely need a point guard or some. We were really a point guard short this year. I mean, we never replaced Daniel III this year, and I think that's one reason the guards log too many minutes. We need to recruit one more guard, and hopefully we can get another big guy in here. That's regardless of Bone and Williams come back or not. But they need to run somebody off. I'm tired of looking at dead weight on the roster. Everybody else in the country is running their dead weight off but us.
Yeah, it's just something on the drive, Phil. We're not comfortable about talking about pulling scholarships and No.
Well, maybe go to LSU. What about Will Wade getting their chance down there? What do you think? Isn't that funny?
That, when I saw that yesterday, that blew my mind, Phil. And we'll get into it a little bit more in hour two. But I was shocked to see that they were reinstating him and bringing him back.
You know what the highlight of my weekend was seeing Buck Pearl at the Auburn spring game on TV. See.
Ooh.
God, what is this problem?
Watching that. Did you watch the Auburn spring game?
I didn't know it was Saturday. No, I did not watch it.
If you knew it was Saturday, would you have watched it?
No. I barely had
enough
energy to watch Tennessee's.
In Phil's defense, I do think it was right before Tennessee, so maybe Phil just had it on there and was waiting for the orange and white game to start, and it just so happened to show Bruce Pearl.
Did you guys see the North Carolina spring game?
I saw the pictures of the attendance. That was pathetic.
Bear, did you see it?
Yeah, it was like 1,500 people there.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of it.
I mean, holy cow. I'm pretty sure most of the high schools in Knoxville are bigger than that.
Tar Heel fans, not very excited about the return
of the Mac.
Of Mac Brown.
Return of the Mac. Yeah, no, they aren't.
That hire just did not make sense to me whenever they made that this past year. I mean, they fire Larry Fedora, who is just an absolute buffoon
with a legend of a name.
Would you not think they were hoping to the thought process behind it similar to the thought process behind Barnes? Although Barnes didn't have a big gap in employment. He went from Texas straight to Tennessee. He never stopped. But Mac's been in the booth for a while. But
well, I feel like for both him, and then I also kind of look at Les Miles this way, over at Kansas, is that both programs have got an established guy to get a lot of really good assistant coaches who will then be able to carry the program further. I think that's absolutely what North Carolina did, and I think probably more so than LSU, or not LSU, excuse me, Kansas. But I really do think that both those hires were to field very good coaching staffs, because I think both have probably done that, or at least considerably better than what they had. And then, you know, hopefully that those guys are able to carry the program further down when those guys either, you know, the game's either passed them up and they can't coach, or they go ahead and just call it quits.
I mean, I get it for Kansas. I mean, Kansas, you've been in just the wasteland of college football for 10 years now. You've had a brief period of success with Mark Mangino. But other than that, North Carolina, though, they've had success recently. They've been pretty good. And then you go out and you hire Mac Brown? I don't get it. 865-546-8200. We'll take a break here. Hour two coming up. We'll talk Masters. We'll talk Will Wade more when we continue. You're listening to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.